God's word says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" This ends the reading of God's word. Before you're seated, kids and for junior church and children's church can be dismissed. Go ahead and have a seat as they're dismissed. Praise team, you can be dismissed. Thank you, DCS Praise Team, and Eleanor Newland and the choir. Just a great time of testimony, and praise the Lord for that. Just want to share with you briefly from God's Word today, and then I've got a special treat. Mr. Stubblefield and I are going to arm wrestle. And winner take all. So no, we're not doing that. I do have a special treat for you, but before we do that, let's look into this passage and just see if we can gather from it what God is trying to tell us this morning. John chapter 8. If you read the whole thing, it's kind of an interesting chapter of the Bible, of God's word, because Jesus is teaching, of course, and at the beginning of the chapter, there's people, they're there, they're sitting at Jesus' feet, they're listening, they're very attentive. By the time you get to the end of the chapter, they're picking up rocks, they're stoning him, they're wanting to stone him, and he's escaping and hiding himself from the temple. It's a very interesting passage of Scripture, the entire chapter 8 of John. And it could be said that John chapter 8 is written about fickle Christians, or written regarding fickle Christians. That is, they say they believe in God, they say they want to follow Christ and all these things, and yet at the same time, when push comes to shove, they go a different direction. So, with all that in mind, this is where we're going this morning. And by the way, for those of you that are visiting, we've got an outline of the message printed in the bulletin that you can kind of follow along with and fill in the blanks. So make that available to yourself if you'd like to. But here's where we're going this morning. In John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, Jesus talks about achieving freedom. And what we think about, when we think about it, there's application to all of us and to all of life, including Delaware Christian School. So I want to just very briefly share one big major point, and then I want to kind of have two kind of minor points, and then we'll wrap up this morning. The first thing that I want to point out in this passage is found in verses 32 through 36. 33 through 36, where we read, and this is Jesus talking, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And these Jews answered back to him, "We are the offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now, I just want to say right out of the gate, I am just going to hit some very high spots in this passage this morning, because this could take weeks, literally, to do this passage justice. I'm just going to hit a few high spots this morning. We're not preaching through John as a church right now. Actually, I'm working my way through Romans, but decided to take a detour for this morning. But the first thing I want to share with you is that Jesus came as a liberator, not a dictator. There is so much of the world today that sees Christianity through the same lens of religion of many of the other world religions that are around. And that is that it's just a bunch of rules and regulations to live by. And I want to share with you this morning that that's not the case at all. The passage says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus came not as a dictator, not to say to you, I'm talking to you, not to say to you, do this, do this, do this. He came to set you free. And what does that mean? Well, let's talk about that for a few minutes. Because in the world that we live in, there's a lot of things that are slavery that are disguised as freedom. Let me talk about that for a minute. Slavery disguised as freedom. Now, I'm not talking about here physical slavery so much, you know, capturing people and putting them into chains and making them do forced labor, as much as I'm talking about spiritual things, spiritual slavery, being stuck in sin so that it just seems like you just can't escape it. You want to do what's right in the eyes of God, but you just can't seem to get away from it. You're enslaved. You're stuck in a sin. How you define freedom will make a huge impact on how you view this passage of Scripture, okay? Now, I went to the source, right, to find the definition of the word freedom. I just go to the dictionary, Merriam-Webster. And Merriam-Webster says that freedom is the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. That's what freedom is. Now, question, what comes to your mind under that definition? What comes to your mind in terms of this word freedom? Well, I'll tell you what comes to my mind. What comes to my mind is this whole idea that I can do what I want when I want. Right? I mean, that's a very simple definition. I'm not coerced. Nobody's forcing me. I can do what I want when I want. Now, would everybody agree? Is that a decent definition of freedom? What I want when I want. Okay, I can sense that everyone's like, I don't know, Pastor, you're setting me a trap here. I think I'm going to, if I agree with you, you're going to clobber me. Okay, let me let you off the hook. Now, let me let you off the hook a little bit, okay? Because that is a possible definition. Freedom is doing whatever you want, whenever you want. But it's a very simplistic definition, and it turns out that in the real world that you and I live in, it's oversimplistic. Let me tell you why. Let me give you at least two reasons why it's oversimplistic. First of all, it fails to understand kind of the cause and effect realities of this life, right? That when we do whatever we want, whenever we want, there may be consequences to that are going to hurt, right? For example, I could do whatever I want, whenever I want, and one of the ramifications of that, one of the consequences of that could be jail time. Is that freedom? Well, I did whatever I want, whenever I wanted, but now I'm in a place where I can't go wherever I want and do whatever I want, whenever. Okay? Well, how about this? How about not only the cause and effect nature of life, okay, but how about this? How about the second thing is that we are all, this is a reality of the world that we live in, we all live in relationship to one another. So I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. However, that's going to have impact on other people. Now, these are just a couple of realities of the life we live. There's the cause and effect relation, or the consequences, you know, cause and effect. There's consequences to what we do. And also the relational aspect of when I do certain things, I'm going to offend people. I'm going to draw some people to me. I'm going to offend other people and break relationship. Okay? It's just important for us to know that. It's important for us to know that freedom oftentimes gets disguised as slavery in our world. Now, the book of Proverbs, by the way, I really love. The book of Proverbs is all about skillful living. And although those things aren't always true, the book of Proverbs gives us a lot of things that if we live these certain ways, then generally speaking, some good things are going to happen. Some things are going to happen. And it talks about good and bad. But folks, let me tell you that Satan is the father of lies, John 8:44, and our adversary wants us to believe that true freedom is doing whatever we want, whenever we want. And it sounds great, but it just so happens to not be true. Because the reality is that when we live the do-whatever-you-want lifestyle, we wind up in slavery. 1 Corinthians 6:12, you might jot that down. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. In other words, there's consequences to what I do, and not only that, there's relationships that break down when I do whatever I want to do. He goes on to write, all things are lawful for me, but I cannot be dominated by anything. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about here. I went to the dentist this week. I know you're really excited to hear this, right? I went to the dentist this week, and I had, be prepared to celebrate, I had no cavities. My wife sent me a very nice text, said, attaboy. Now, listen, that is somewhat unusual for me because I have really bad teeth. I started eating candy at a very early age, and I haven't stopped, okay? And so the keys for me to have an outcome like that are brushing and flossing and rinsing with fluoride. Okay, those three things have to happen for me on a daily basis in order for me to avoid the drill, the Novocaine, and the extra visits to the dentist that cost so much money, right? You see what I'm saying here? There's a real cause and effect thing kind of going here. I don't want to go to the dentist at all in the first place, but in order to avoid the drill and the Novocaine, now, that's just a cause and effect. In order to avoid and be free from the drill, the Novocaine, the extra visits, I have to maintain good oral hygiene of brushing and flossing and rinsing with fluoride. Does that make sense? That's the cause and effect nature of life. Now, I could say, I want to do whatever I want whenever I want. So I'm just going to eat all the candy to my heart's content. I'm not going to brush. I'm not going to floss. I'm not going to rinse with fluoride. All my teeth are going to rot. They're going to fall out of my head. And I'm just going to be okay with that. But that might impact my relationship with my wife a little bit. Wouldn't you say, hon? Yeah. She's not looking at me like that would be fun. So we have to understand what true freedom is all about. And I think Jesus is talking about that in this passage this morning. Let me give you, I want to illustrate this with a few, I want to talk about freedom with a few examples from real life, okay? Let's talk about one example, the example of friendships, relationships. Now, I don't know how much you stay in contact with the six television, movies, but it seems like people today, or even the comment section on a website, but it seems like people today have a really tough time maintaining relationships. Like, somebody has an opinion, and then everybody, just like the vitriol comes out, oh, you're dumb for believing that, I can't believe you would think that way, and all this kind of stuff. And if you look at the comment sections after a news article online or something, all kinds of venom is coming out. And what's more is there just seems to be this need among us as people that when we hear about somebody doing something foolish or we get crossways with somebody, that we just want to talk about it, right? We just want to talk and tell everybody how rotten a person they are. And what is it about us that makes us want to do that? And so we do, if we adopt the I want to do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it lifestyle, then we fall into this slavery. I'm going to talk about that. We fall into this slavery, this idle talk that leads to anger and bitterness and revenge and broken relationships. Now, track with me on this and see if you can understand what I'm saying. Let's just pretend that there's like 400 people in here, roughly. There's 400 people in here, and let's pretend that you all have a good relationship with me, and I have a good relationship with you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're necessarily best friends. What I'm talking about is that we've maintained a relationship such that we're at least acquaintances, maybe we're, you know, friends, maybe we're very, very close friends, but we've maintained our relationship such that even on the things that we disagree on, we've agreed to disagree cordially. We know that about each other. We're good with that. Okay. So I can be friends, and you can be, we can be friends. I can be friends with every single person in this church here present this morning. Or I can start bad-mouthing certain ones of you, certain ones in this body. I can start bad-mouthing you, and maybe even it gets to the point where we just don't talk anymore. It's like the Cold War from the Soviet Union and the United States from when I was growing up. We don't talk. We don't make eye contact with each other. We just don't want to have anything to do with one another, and heaven forbid that somebody in a position of ministry leadership should put us in a position where we have to actually work together. No! Now, my question to you is, which one of those two scenarios holds more freedom? And I want to suggest to you that true freedom is found in maintaining biblical communication, according to Ephesians 4, where we are doing things like, and I put this on the church Facebook page this morning, on Delaware Bible Church's Facebook page, I put the four rules of communication that are found in Ephesians 5, or 4, 25 through 32. But here they are, just in a nutshell, so I'm going to say them really fast. You're not going to have time to copy them down. Go to the Facebook page. Be honest. Keep current. Attack the problem, not the person. And act, don't react. Those four rules of communication that are found right in the pages of Scripture. And then Matthew 18, if you have a problem with someone, you go to that person first. You deal with them. You don't tell the whole group of people around you about what that person did. You go to that person first. Maybe you just misunderstood. I am convinced that if we all practiced as believers the four rules of communication and Matthew 18, it would transform our church, it would transform our school, it would transform society. Amen? And we would find, in terms of relationships, we would find freedom. Because like I said, even if you and I disagree on things like, I don't know, who should run for president or who should be voted in as president, even if we disagree on these things, in love, we can agree to disagree because we recognize that to be a preference issue. That's just one example, okay? I'm suggesting that there's more freedom in doing it God's way when it comes to friendships and relationships. What about dealing with problems? I don't know if you understand this or not, but we live right now in a very psychotherapeutic world. Psychology is the air we breathe in the United States of America and in much of the developed world. If we have a problem, we want to put a disorder on it. We want to come up with a course of treatment. That treatment may include medication and therapy and all this kind of stuff. And let me just say, before I get put into a category, there's areas of psychology that I think are good and scientific and worth your study and my study. But there's also this other brand, this other strain of psychology that's out there today that wants to say, you're sinning, but you know what? It's not your problem. It's not your fault. Someone else made you do this. There's a lot of blame shifting going on in our culture today. I would have done the right thing, but my spouse wasn't treating me right, and so that's why I reacted the way I did. That is not biblical. It may be good in terms of psychology textbooks, but it's not the way that God has mapped out for us to deal with our problems, brothers and sisters. And so think about it. Think about this. Slavery is blame shifting, or I see this often too, letting things that we can't control define us. Someone sinned against me in my past. My spouse left me and went on and it sinfully left me and went on to a new partner. And so we allow our lives to be defined by the problems that we've encountered in our past. And I want to tell you that the people that I've seen that get stuck there are living in slavery. Living in slavery. Is it freedom to think and believe that you cannot do something in life because a condition or another person is limiting you? And I say, the Bible says no. God's word says, if I can get to it, that freedom is understanding who we are in Christ, the mission and the gifts that he's given us. It means freedom is taking responsibility for our own actions. Yes, I did that. That was a sin I committed. Please forgive me. Freedom is understanding repentance and what that means, and it's understanding forgiveness and restoration. Folks, I tell you, this world that we live in is so crazy. I don't know if you understand or if you stay in tune with the tumult of thought that goes on out there, but here's a scenario that happens. Christians, by many in our world, get labeled as haters, that we don't love people, that we have rules and regulations set up, and we're going to hold strictly to these rules and regulations, and if you don't fall within these categories, you're ostracized. Meanwhile, the world, if someone commits a certain type of heinous sin, an act of terror or something like that, that person is to be treated in such a way that they never want to see the daylight again. We want to label them a terrorist or whatever, a sex offender, or we want to label them as something. We want to put them here, and we want to just never see them ever again. And I want to share with you this morning that God is not the way that he is prescribed or that he's cast in many of these images, or many of these he's not the way that he's described by many in public today. Our God is a God that if whatever sin that you've committed, whatever you've done in your past, whatever has happened in your life, if you come to him in repentance and faith, he will accept you. He will love you. He laid down the life of his son for you. And you can find life and peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? And yet so many in our world today think that there's freedom in dealing with problems by blaming someone or something else. This last one is very prevalent in our culture today. Example three is sexuality. Folks, there is slavery going on. It's going on in our culture. It's going on in this city. It's going on in this church. It's going on in our school. Many are finding themselves under the slavery of pornography. And the problem with that is that pornography is full of lies. Jot this down. If you're a man and you are pretty ignorant about the subject, or maybe you're stuck in the sin and you just don't know what to do next, there's a book out there by Tim Chalice called Sexual Detox. And in there, in the opening chapters, he describes, the name is Sexual Detox of the book, and it's by Tim Chalice. He describes in that book the detrimental effects of pornography. Satan is so masterful. He promises fulfillment. Come and look at these images and watch these videos, and it'll be fulfilling to you. You'll have fun. It'll be thrilling. You'll have a good time. And what really is going on there is that the evil one is bringing lies about physical love and lies about men and women and lies about how men and women relate to one another. And let me ask you this question. Is it freedom to believe these lies and bring them, and have a young couple bring them into their marriage and impose those lies on the spouse? Is that helpful to build up the relationship? And I would answer no. I would say it's a form of slavery. And so we see here that God offers something different. He offers intimacy as God designed it. In marriage, undefiled, focused not selfishly on what I can get out of the deal, but focused on pleasing your spouse. I am so grieved by this thing, this pornography that is sweeping over our land, and I've counseled numerous men through this. And there is a path of victory. I want to give you hope. There is a path of victory. You can overcome this. But I want to just tell you, you parents and you young folks, it's important that you have these conversations in your home, that you talk about these things, that you make sure that you're not being passive and allowing these things to take hold in the lives of your young people. And you men, as you're out there, as you're thinking, boy, Pastor, I struggle with this stuff, that you need to come see me. I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to lead you into freedom. You hear what I'm saying? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I don't want you to be in bondage and slavery to this junk. I don't want you to buy into the lies of the world. Let the world shape your thoughts about what married life is like. I want to set you free from that stuff, and God does as well. Let me give you an illustration. I use this illustration a lot. Parents and children. You see here a dad, he's got his teenage son in the car. He's about ready to hand him over the keys. And as I'm raising teenagers, and my wife and I are raising teenagers right now, I can tell you that I really do want my children to have freedom. I want to raise them up and help them at an older age to begin to make independent decisions on their own. But a wise father and a wise mother recognizes that there are many temptations that might attach themselves to their children and fool them, promising them freedom but bringing slavery instead. And so a wise father or a wise mother wants to give his children freedom when they are ready to use that freedom for good, when they're really willing to use that freedom and make good choices that are pleasing to the Lord. Well, that's really the main point that I wanted to get across today, is that Jesus came to liberate, and not as a liberator and not as a dictator. I hope you all know that. I hope that you know that these lies that are out in our culture about Christianity only being about rules and regulations, those are falsehoods. Jesus came to tell us the truth. The truth is that as we live our lives, the things that we do have consequences. And as we live and move through our lives, we can fracture and break down relationships. And those two things put together, if we're not careful, if we're not wise in this world, our lives, as Paul David Tripp would say, our lives can shrink down to the size of just us. We've got no friends, no meaningful relationships. We can't go anywhere because we're on house arrest or we're in jail. We've made foolish decisions because I want to do what I want to do. Now, just a couple other things that we see in this text of Scripture, I'll move through these quickly, is just we need to avoid the lie that the world is telling us. We can know truth with certainty. The world wants to tell us that we're arrogant as believers because we look into God's Word and we see truth and we proclaim it. The world wants to say, you're arrogant, you can't know truth. In other words, they're like Pontius Pilate who says, what is truth, right? But this passage, and therefore God, tells us that we can know truth. It says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And folks, I just want to share with you once again that truth is found when we seek God through Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then just finally, the last point I want to make this morning is that we follow Jesus to freedom by acting in accordance with his word. In verse 31, we read, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, that abide means to act in accordance with or live in such a way that what you believe to be true is actually true. If you abide or remain in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now, back to the dentist's office, right? Like I said, I can adopt the attitude with my teeth. I'm going to do what I want when I want. I'm going to eat cake and go to bed with all the icing still stuck in between. Woo, that sounds good, doesn't it? Snack on that all night long. But there are consequences to those actions. It's a lie to believe. Let me put it a different. I'll put it a positive way. The truth is that maximum freedom for me with my dental health comes when I brush and floss and rinse. And those are three disciplines that I need to build into my life on a daily basis. But by building those disciplines into my life, I can have freedom. I know that that's a dingy analogy, but it is very true of the Christian life. There are things that we need to do. 1 John 2:4, you can look that up on your own. It says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay, so application. My question, this is a duh question. I mean, do you want freedom in life? I don't think that's probably the right question I should be asking. I guess the question I should be asking is this. Have you thought about freedom the way that I've described it to you this morning? That freedom, that the choices that we make, just in the physical world, the real world that we occupy, choices have consequences, and choices also have consequences not only in our own personal lives, but in our relationships. And once we understand that, we can really get our hands and our minds around what true freedom is. So if you want freedom, you have to live in light of that. The next thing I would say is this, is because Jesus says that the pathway to freedom is the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are you committed to the truth and knowing it? There's reasons why here at Delaware Bible Church and also at Delaware Christian School, we put heavy emphasis on the spiritual disciplines of reading Scripture, memorizing Scripture, meditating on Scripture, prayer, worship, and things like that. It's because those are the things that God has given us in order for us to know truth and to find freedom. Maybe you're here this morning and you're living a fickle faith. You say, I mean, this is one of the dangers that we face in Christian school and in churches, right? Is we've got folks that come on Sunday, we've got Christian school students that come every day and they go to Bible, and they kind of go through the motions to make sure that they look on the outside like everything's fine, but inside, what they really want is they desperately want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, because they think that somehow that is freedom. And I want to tell you, young people, old people, everyone in this room, I want to tell you that Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in Christ is where true freedom remains, where it is, where it abides. Now, there's more application to this of Delaware Christian School, and I'm going to, just as a special treat, just for a few minutes, I've got three questions that I would like to ask our head administrator, John Stubblefield. So, John, would you come up and join me here at the table? And I want to apply this sermon kind of to Delaware Christian School this morning, and so I just ask you a few questions, okay? All right, here we go. By the way, how are you enjoying your first year here?
I'm loving it.
Oh, you are?
Loving it. I'm ready to arm wrestle you, though. But we'll do that. We'll do that later.
I haven't been working out, so maybe later. Okay, the first thing I'd like to ask you is, in what ways would you say that Delaware Christian School is trying to uphold biblical truth on a day-by-day basis?
Okay. That's really a two-part answer. First of all, one of our core values at Delaware Christian School is biblical integration. And so what that looks like, people hear that term, but what does that actually mean in a day-to-day class? Well, we believe that all truth is God's truth. And so you have the revealed truth found in God's word in Scripture, and you have the natural truth that's found in nature. So in a biology class, what that looks like, it's much easier. It's, you know, you can talk about creation versus evolution. You can look at the biblical truths found in Scripture. But what does that look like in math class or in a social studies class? So in a math class, it's the created order of the universe, and you can see that in mathematical principles. In social studies, we can look at history, and you can see the hand of God and the influence of God interwoven across the tapestry of history. And so in every class the students go in, it's not just a Bible verse on the board, which there's nothing wrong with that. Those are good things, but it goes deeper than that. How can you see this subject through the lens of Christianity? And then the other part of that question is, we have to have Christian teachers. You know, Frank Gehbelin, who wrote a book called The Patterns of God's Truth on Christian education, he was one of the early pioneers in Christian education. He said that no man teaches out of a philosophical vacuum. And so we have to make sure that we hire faculty and staff that are Christians, that they take the time to spend hours reading God's word, that they're pouring into themselves, developing their relationship with Christ, so then they can give that back out to the students. And what you see in the public arena is the attempt to take God out of Christians, out of schools, take all religion out of schools, which is a fallacy. And what they've replaced that with is moral relativism. And so there's no stable foundation in public education. It's always changing. It's based on what's fashionable now, or what's socially acceptable, or what meets the cultural demands of being politically correct. And in a Christian school, the foundation is unchanging. It's always God's word. It's always the biblical values. And it applies to every single subject in the students' lives.
Great, great. Okay. Well, just to further this application, what are some ways that you hope to enhance DCS's ability to help students grow in the truth and know the truth in the future?
Yeah. One of the things that we're most excited about next year is a biblical mentoring program that we're starting with our middle and high school students. And so what that will look like is teachers or faculty members or sometimes even some of the church staff, the pastoral staff, will have a group of 8 to 10 young men or young women. They will be assigned that group for the entire school year. And we are very intentional about building positive relationships between our students and our parents and our faculty. And so it's built into the schedule. There will be a curriculum set there. It's an extension of our Bible curriculum. But it's a chance for these teachers to really develop relationships and to pour into the lives of the students. What happens so often in elementary school, you're with those kids all day long. You see them all the time, and it's much easier to form those connections. But in middle and high school, as the students transition, they come into class, okay, we've got to get started, we've got work to do. They leave class, they run to their locker, run to the bathroom, into the next class. And if we don't take time to be intentional about how can we build these relationships, they can get lost in the shuffle. And then the other part about that is we want the students to know that what we're doing, the education, the Christian education, has an eternal value. It extends beyond the classrooms. It goes into our athletic program, our music program, our band, our choir, our drama, all of those things. And we want our students to be successful. We want them to win awards and to have great achievements and to do all those things. But at the end of the day, our teachers and our coaches, our choir directors, band directors know that there's a more important foundation for all those things, is building godly character. And so building those relationships, mentoring those students, making sure that those things are aligned, not only across the curriculum and all the classes, but in all the extracurricular activities we do as well.
Great. Okay, last question. And then we'll wrap up here. How can parents best partner with Delaware Christian School to help students know the truth and live in freedom?
At Delaware Christian School, we believe that Christian education is a partnership. It's a partnership between the parents, the church, and the school. And we've talked a lot this morning about the school and about the church, but if Christian education is like a three-legged stool, if one of those legs goes away, it all falls apart. And so the big thing that parents can do is be a role model for your kids. Be actively involved in a church. Be actively involved at home and modeling a Christ-like behavior and spending time in the Word and sitting down with your kids and looking at the Scriptures. And that looks very different for an elementary student than it might for a high school student. But those things are still important, those conversations, those times to pray together. And then, be involved at the school. We have a variety of different activities throughout the year. We've had parent fellowship meetings. We had an internet safety seminar here at the church a couple of weeks ago. Those are all things that we as a school, in conjunction with Delaware Bible Church, are trying to do to be a resource to parents and how to biblically fulfill that part of parent, church, and school. And then the other thing we'd ask you to do is pray for us. Pray for the teachers, pray for the administrators, pray for us to have wisdom as we make decisions about how to best manage the resources that God's blessed us with in this ministry.
All right. Well, John, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if anybody has any questions for John, you can see him at the end of the service. But go ahead and have a seat. I just wanted to emphasize once again, we at Delaware Bible Church feel tremendously blessed to have this Christian school as part of our ministry. We praise the Lord that we get to touch the lives of students from across 40 different churches, 40 or so different churches in our community and around the area. And our goal here is to teach truth. It's to teach truth in our church, from our pulpit, in our Sunday school classes. It's to teach truth in the Delaware Christian School classroom so that we can have freedom in Christ, and use our lives to glorify Him. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, I am so thankful to You that You did not send Your Son into this world to impose a rigid set of rules that we could, Father, because of our sinfulness, we could never uphold. You came to seek and save that which is lost. You came to justify sinners through faith in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And You came to tell us the truth. And in that truth, we find freedom. Father, I know that in a church and school family like this, there's many that are struggling, grappling with the realities of the sin in their lives. I know that there are people who are right now sitting in their seats and saying, if I could just find freedom from this one thing. I'm in slavery to this, to the sin of this or that, and I just need help. Father, I pray that You would, just even right now, give that person boldness and strength to be able to come forward, to talk to their pastor, to talk to me, talk to one of their church leaders. to be able to have someone with skill and knowledge and compassion to walk them through the truth of your word, to bring accountability and help them to achieve freedom. Father, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for laying his life down for me and for us. Help us to now walk in light of that reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.